Imagine discovering that your family's most puzzling behaviors, from harsh parenting tactics to reactions when disrespected, actually stem from centuries-old survival mechanisms. This is the revelation at the heart of post-traumatic slave syndrome. While visiting South Africa shortly after apartheid ended, Dr. Joy DeGruy noticed something striking. Despite its recent racial segregation, South Africa showed less racial tension than America, where slavery had ended over a century earlier. This observation sparked her investigation into why America's racial wounds remain so raw. The answer lies in a phenomenon she calls post-traumatic slave syndrome, a condition resulting from centuries of slavery followed by ongoing oppression and limited access to opportunity. Unlike other immigrant groups who arrived with intact family structures, African Americans endured generations of family separation and systematic dehumanization, creating patterns of behavior that persist today. American chattel slavery wasn't just another historical instance of servitude. It represented something fundamentally different. While slavery existed throughout history, American slavery uniquely classified human beings as property based solely on skin color. The infamous Three-Fifths Compromise revealed the twisted logic at play. Enslaved people were simultaneously property for economic purposes and partial persons when politically advantageous. To justify this contradiction, an entire pseudoscientific apparatus emerged, from Carl von Linnaeus classifying Homo afer as black, phlegmatic, cunning, lazy, lustful, careless, to Thomas Jefferson describing black people as physically unattractive and emotionally stunted. Even medical science participated, with J. Marion Sims conducting gynecological experiments on enslaved women without anesthesia, reinforcing beliefs about racial differences in pain perception. When emancipation finally came in 1863, the overwhelming joy among newly freed people was tempered by a profound question: what now? The hope was simple: to benefit from their own labor, prosper from their ingenuity, and share in American opportunity. That hope was systematically crushed. Within 2 years, black codes regulated nearly every aspect of black lives, forcing work for whatever wages plantation owners deemed fair, preventing land ownership, voting rights, or legal protections. When the 13th Amendment abolished slavery except as punishment for crime, Southern states exploited this loophole by leasing convicted blacks to plantations and businesses. In South Carolina, half died within their first year of lease. Jim Crow laws established America's version of apartheid, while lynching became the preferred method of terror. Between 1882 and 1967, Congress rejected 200 bills to outlaw lynching. What happens when generations experience systematic dehumanization, violence, and blocked opportunity? The patterns become embedded in family systems and cultural responses. PTSS manifests in three key patterns: vacant esteem, ever-present anger, and racist socialization. Vacant esteem isn't simply low self-esteem, it's what happens when society continuously signals your worthlessness through incarceration rates, segregated schools, lending discrimination, and media portrayals of blacks as criminals or academically deficient. The anger that often simmers just beneath the surface stems from centuries of blocked goals despite tremendous effort. Perhaps most insidious is racist socialization, when African Americans internalize the belief that whiteness represents superiority, showing up in preferences for lighter skin, good hair over kinky bad hair, and sometimes even denial of civil rights achievements. These aren't character flaws, they're psychological adaptations to centuries of trauma. The family unit, humanity's fundamental social structure, was systematically attacked during slavery. Families were routinely separated, parents couldn't protect their children, and marriages had no legal standing. After emancipation, many had to develop family-building skills from scratch, with stress often triggering reversion to fragmentation patterns. Sexual exploitation created additional wounds. White women were idealized, while black women were routinely violated. For black men, being powerless to protect black women while being denied access to white women created profound psychological damage. These historical dynamics continue to affect intimate relationships today. As psychiatrist Rajan Persaud explains, some black men may see themselves as historic failures and find it difficult to connect with black women who symbolize this perceived failure. The crabs in a barrel phenomenon, where community members pull down others who try to succeed, contains layers of fear, abandonment, and shame. When one black person is promoted over another, the one left behind experiences profound inferiority because of internalized beliefs about black inadequacy. Why does a simple perceived slight sometimes trigger an explosive response in African American communities? The author's doctoral research revealed something profound. Disrespect is the most significant trigger for anger and violence in African American male youth, more significant than being victims of violence or daily urban stressors. This heightened sensitivity makes perfect sense in historical context. When your ancestors were systematically stripped of all dignity, respect becomes currency of immeasurable value. The hypersensitivity about privacy, the cultural taboo against airing dirty laundry, transforms normal human imperfections into sources of shame. Healing begins with rejecting the dominant narrative that paints us as inferior and instead recognizing our true nature. Despite centuries of oppression meant to break their spirit, African Americans have maintained faith, built communities under impossible circumstances, established distinctive culture, and shown remarkable forgiveness rather than organized retaliation. Building self-esteem requires both actually being valuable and recognizing that value. The core question becomes, are you destroying or creating? True value comes from discovering your unique gifts and sharing them, improving the world around you. Storytelling plays a crucial role in healing. Learning family and community histories provides context and strength. Yet many African Americans don't share these stories, either from shame associated with surviving oppression or from parents' desire to shield children from past struggles. By reclaiming these narratives, we reclaim our power. The traditional strengths that have sustained African Americans, spirituality and faith, sense of community and leadership, remain essential resources for continued healing and growth. Positive racial socialization, having a strong sense of oneself and one's history, creates resilience against disrespect. When you truly know your value, external validation becomes less critical, and perceived slights lose their power to wound so deeply. The legacy of slavery isn't just black history, it's American history. Even Thomas Jefferson acknowledged his guilt and fear regarding slavery's consequences, writing that he trembled for his country, knowing that God's justice would not forever overlook such injustice. The psychological wounds inflicted by centuries of dehumanization affect us all, though in vastly different ways. Healing requires honest confrontation with history and its ongoing impacts. For African Americans, racial socialization, teaching children about their cultural strengths while honestly addressing discrimination's reality, provides tools to emotionally filter racist assaults. Modeling successful navigation through racial intolerance is equally important, as children learn primarily by watching those close to them. For all Americans, understanding PTSS offers a framework for comprehending behaviors and patterns that otherwise seem disconnected from present circumstances. The path forward isn't forgetting history, but understanding it deeply enough to recognize its fingerprints on our present. Only then can we truly begin to heal, not just from slavery itself, but from the century and a half of systematic oppression that followed emancipation. The chains may be invisible now, but their weight is still felt. It's time we acknowledge them.